Revelation chapter number 20. Thankful for all those people who touched heaven, so that prayed and asked God to save me, for me to get right. Thankful for that. And I want to be a person that gets a hold of God and gets a hold of heaven for others. And Revelation chapter number 20. We talked about a few weeks ago about having a biblical worldview and how it seems like the Bible is... The things leading up to the last day seem like they're unfolding in front of our eyes in many different ways, and talked about how we're going to look and discuss and preach about having a biblical worldview during these tough times. And last week we talked about the first thing that we can do is by presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice and say, God, whatever it is you want me to go through, whatever it is you want me to do, hey, I'm yours. I belong to you, and I'm just going to go, and Lord, here's my body. And hopefully this week you put that on your prayer list. Hopefully this past week you wrote that down and say, okay, this is your day, Lord. Here I am. I'm yours. It's a living sacrifice, and that's wholly acceptable, and that we were not conformed to this world this week, but instead we are conformed into the image of His Son. And this morning, I'd like to look at Revelation chapter 20. I know what the first thing that went through some of your minds is, hey, Pastor, we haven't talked about Revelation yet. You're going all the way at the end. You're starting at the back, and I am starting near the back, but I want to show you why it's important we have a biblical worldview. And the reason why it's important is because someday there's going to be judgment. And this morning we're going to look at the great white throne judgment. And the Lord, since I knew this is what the Lord, since He spoke to my heart about this being what He wanted me to speak about, boy, this has been something that's filled my heart with, I don't want anybody to be there, but there's going to be a lot of people there. I don't want anybody that I know to be there. As you think about the Bible, and you think about some of the worst descriptions or the worst spots or the most horrifying place example in the Bible, and I don't know any other scarier or any other most convicting spot that's found here. This is a very serious topic. This is after the Great Tribulation. This is after the thousand-year reign. This is like right near the end. And here at the end, He's judging people. And He's casting people into the lake of fire forever. And this is challenging because of the fact that I know many people here today would profess that they're a Christian. They're not going to be there. And if that's you, praise the Lord for that. But at the same time, are you going to know people that are there? And if you know people that are going to be there, did you ever tell them? And there's a challenge that's there. And I know, we're not going to be judged that day. Some people would say that we may be there and observing what's happening. And that's a whole other topic, and I don't want to get into that. But I'd like to just look at this message this morning about something that's very serious. There's people in the world today that think they can hide from God. There's people in the world today that feel like they can live whatever they want, whatever way they want to, and they'll never be accountable for their actions. And there's a lot of different subjects and topics in Revelation chapters 1 through 20 that people can look at and say, well, I wonder what this means, or I think this means this, and I think this means that. But this passage right here is hard-hitting, as right at home. You're going to stand before your judge someday. And as you stand before that judge, there's two different judgments. There is what people call the judgment seat of Christ for those who are believers. And then there's the great white throne judgment, what we're going to look at today, is for those that are unbelievers. And you say, Pastor, why is it so important that I have a biblical worldview? Why is it so important that I live this way? And the reason is right here, because there's a judgment coming. That, these people that are not living with a biblical worldview are not going to figure it out on their own. We need to, as believers, have a biblical worldview during these times, is that there is a judgment coming. And yes, there is a judgment seat of Christ for those that are believers. But this is something that is, it's something you consider. And something, if you really have the right mindset, it's something that is very fearful. Something that, when this is something people are going to experience. Let's look what it says here. Revelation chapter number 20. Look what it says in verse number 11. Remember, I know we have not preached on Revelation that much in the last 13 years. We have done some. But here, this is John is seeing what is going to happen in the future. That's why it's called prophecy. And he says, I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it. for whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And there were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's help today. Dear Heavenly Father, it's so easy when we let this world determine what our worldview is going to be, that we forget about important things like this. But Lord, this should be on our mind and on our hearts. There is people that are dying without Christ that someday will stand in this judgment. Lord, maybe somebody's sitting here where I pray that they understand what's going to happen someday in the future. They see this and don't want to be a part of this. And Lord, that they'll turn to you today. And Lord, I pray for those that do know you, we can rejoice in the fact that we will not have to stand in this judgment. But also, Lord, humble us. Humble us to the point where we see that there is many that are lost and dying without you, that will be here someday, and that will be cast into the lake of fire. Lord, help us to be encouraged today to be a greater witness. Help us to not want to see someone that we know there. Lord, move in our hearts. Challenge us to not look at things according to the way the world is saying to. But as said, Lord, challenge us to look at it through the words of the Bible, believing that this judgment is coming and we should be prepared, or help others be prepared for it. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a story told about a young preacher that came to a village town to be a pastor. In that village, there was a man who was known as a skeptic, a scorner, agnostic, a pseudo-intellectual. His favorite sport was baiting preachers and teasing preachers and arguing with preachers, ridiculing the gospel. He could hardly wait till the new minister, young minister, came to town. One day they met in the town square. This man, whose name was Bert, met the new minister and said to him, "I understand that you're the new preacher in town. Is that correct?" He said, "Yes, sir, I am." He said, "Well, I want to tell you something. My name is Bert, and I don't believe in God. I don't believe the Bible is the word of God, and I believe that heaven is a mere dream or imagination. To believe in hell is a blunder and foolishness. I believe that you're a pious fraud and an imposter, and I believe that all the people who go there to hear you preach are hypocrites." The young minister looked at him and quoted the verse of Scripture, "It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment." Bert said, "Don't quote the Bible to me. I don't believe the Bible. What do you have to say about that?" The young preacher once again said, "It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment." He said, "That's no argument. Don't give me that. I don't believe that." He said, and he once again said, "It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment." He said, "That's stupid." He says, "I think you're stupid. I don't think you even know how to argue." He said, once again, "It's appointed unto men once to die, after this the judgment." This infuriated Bert. He wheeled around and he turned and walked away in disgust. But later on, Bert gave a testimony. He said, "I walked home that night. I walked over the bridge, and as the creek was beneath me, and the frogs in that creek were saying, 'Judgment, judgment, 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 judgment.'" And what that man had said continued through my soul. "It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment." That I could not get it out of my heart and my mind until I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. Amen. And I think if we would learn that this is something that should be in our heart and mind also. It's one of the most solemn facts in all the Word of God that one day every unsaved man, woman, boy, or girl in the world are going to face this judgment. It's straight from the Word of God, it's straight from the Bible, but it's the final judgment. Now, I know sometimes we say something about the Supreme Court justices, and that's our supreme judgment here in America. But I want you to see something about this, and it's found in this passage of Scripture. It's even greater than what our Supreme Court is. The first point I want you to think about is the judge and the white throne. The judge and the white throne. Look what it says in verse number 11. He says, "And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for it." I want you to think with me, and I'm not really a storytelling type preacher. Some guys are really good at tying things together and just opening up your imagination. You're going to have to use your own sanctified imagination with this one, but it's not very hard. It says the heavens and earth are not there, and that all that's there is this great white throne. And there's one that sat on it. You picture, why is it called great? It speaks of the power. It speaks of the power that's represented there. It's called great because this is the highest court in the universe. And as you think about different court systems here in America, they have different levels of court. And when you get to the Supreme Court, they make the decision. Hopefully they're interpreting what has already been written and not interpreting it for themselves. But at this highest court of the universe, there's no small claims court. When the judgment is rendered from this throne, there's no appeal court. There is no higher court. So when you hear the great white throne judgment, it's speaking of the fact that it's the highest place of authority. It is the final judgment, and it's something that cannot be challenged. But it's not just called the great throne. It's called the great white throne. You say, why is it called the white throne? Well, it's called white because it speaks of the purity of this court. All human courts are tainted by sin in one way or another. They're tainted by people's prejudice, and they're tainted because they're not infallible. It's amazing how some people will read the Constitution and they interpret it one way. It amazes me how some people interpret it. And then other people that will take and read it according to the way it was written, it's supposed to be written. See, in this court, it's completely different. It's white because it's pure. It's white because there is, it cannot make a mistake. It's absolutely perfect. The judgment rendered here will be perfectly fair and righteous. The judge who occupies the bench is infallible. He cannot be tainted with sin. He cannot be tainted with prejudice. And he renders judgment in perfect righteousness and fairness. Not every single person. Not any person can cry out, "Hey, that was unfair." When the sentence is handed down, every sinner that is judged will be sentenced, and they'll know that it is a perfect and fair judgment. I also want you to consider the person on the throne. You look here, and it doesn't say who the person is. But if you go and look in Scripture, it tells us who this is. It's occupied by a person. It says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it." It's a person. And his identity is not revealed here, but in other places in the Bible, this is no other than the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. He is also our sentence. He is a sentencer today. You think about his nature of Jesus Christ. I know who he is. He's the Nazarene. He's the one that came, was born. He was the one that was mocked. He was the one that was put on the cross, not on this day. There he was the Savior of the world. Today he is the sentencer. He is not only the poor, humble carpenter that came to die for the sins of mankind. He is the resurrected conqueror. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. And if you want to see a description of him, you can go to Daniel chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. His presence is so terrible and powerful that even the heavens and the earth, they flee before him. Nature even has a good sense to move before its judgment. That's why the Bible says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's good to notice here that there is a day where the earth and the heaven and the earth will be gone, and that the heaven and the earth will no longer be here, will be gone. But that's not today. Thankful for that, we still live in a day of grace. During this time of history, a sinner can come before God. They can cry out to God for forgiveness. They can ask the Lord to save them. He'll receive them. if we will put our faith and trust in him. This is something that's in the future. That's why we're saying it's prophecy. Well, the descriptions of this judgment is not happening and has not happened, but it will happen. Today is a day to get right with God. Today is a day of salvation. Today is a day of mercy. But there is coming a day where that is going to be gone. When this great white throne of judgment is of power and of purity. But think about the perception that's found here. Look what it says here. It says in verse number 12, "And I saw the dead, small and the great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life." Then it says, "And the dead was judged out of those things were written in the books according to their works." See, some people think that, hey, in a courtroom, I can get away. Maybe I can skate away. Maybe I can manipulate the judge. Maybe I can turn the judge around to believe something else, to believe something different. Maybe I can get a false witness going on. Maybe I can get a false alibi. It's a different court system here. At the Great White Throne Judgment, the perception of this judge is one that there is no hidden sin from them. There is no sin, there is no thought, there is no action that will ever be withheld or concealed from him. There will be no pretending, there will be no pretense at this great judgment. There will be just a sure accounting and reaccounting of every sinful deed and every sinful thought. Nothing will be hidden. It says that in the book of Ecclesiastes 12:14. We've been looking at Ecclesiastes on Wednesday night. Nothing is hidden from God. He sees everything. And there are those who say that, hey, I can be judged according to my life because of the fact that, you know, I do a lot of good things. Well, just one sin means that we're guilty of the whole law. Just one sin will mean that we have fallen short of the glory of God. And just because there are those who get away with things now, the truth is God knows about everything you've done, everything you've ever asked, everything you've ever thought, and everything that you've ever done. And someday, if you stand at this judgment seat, you will have to be accounted for that. You will give account for that according to your deeds. I love the thought about the fact God knowing everything, except when it applies to my sin. Tonight, I believe we're going to look a little bit about the omnipresence of God. We were thinking about looking at the judgment seat of Christ, but we might wait till that till next week. But I want to challenge you today. You may get away with something here. You may fool your parents. You may fool your kids. You are not going to fool this judge. This judge is holy. This judge is right. It is called the Great White Throne Judgment because it is a place of judgment, but there is no higher court, and there is no one that is more righteous and pure. I want you to think about the justice in the Great White Throne. Not just the judge. Think about the justice that happens here. Look what it says in verse number 12 again. "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, another book were open, and the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things that were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works." Here we see the group of people that are there. When you see this, you see the word dead. What does that mean? It's referring to a person as spiritually dead. It's referring to a person who's never known Christ as their Savior. It proves that there will not be a single born-again believer in this group being judged that day. Because the Bible says if you're a believer, a Christian, you pass from death unto life. We have been given eternal, abundant life through the blood of the Lamb, and we can never lose that. We'll never have to be dead ever again. Praise the Lord for that. But if you do not know Christ, you will be one of those that are there. And I want you to see some different people that will be there. No one will be left out. The king will be there. The pauper will be there. The general will be there. The foot soldier will be there. The master, the slave, the borrower, the lender. All will stand before him in that day in judgment unless you know him. I want you to think about four different guest categories. I was thinking, doing studying, reading. I came across one preacher to put it four different ways. There's one person that says that there is... one of the groups is the person who is an out and right sinner. A person who is an outright sinner. Out and out sinner will be there. These are the people we think will be there. We think of the drunkard. We think of maybe the Hitler. We think of the Osama bin Laden. We think of maybe Judas. But it doesn't matter who you are, whether from Cain all the way to the last person, They'll stand in this judgment. But we think about the group that will be there. We think about the out-and-out sinner, those who hate God, those who hate Christ, those who hate the Bible, those who hate revivals, those who hate preachers, those who hate churches, those that will spit on crosses and burn the Bible, those who ridicule the blood, those who shake their puny fists in the face of a holy God, bragging and brazen about what they can and should do. No, no, no. That is the group that will be there. You're like, yeah, they deserve it. But not only will there be the outright sinner that's there, there'll also be many that are self-righteous. What do you mean, Pastor, self-righteous? I mean, these are the good people. These are the ones that go to church from time to time. These are the ones that give money. These are the ones that may have even been baptized. These are the ones that go to Sunday school. These are the ones that have the right culture, the right manners. These are the ones that think the gospel is for the murderers and those that are outright sinners. These are the ones who think that the gospel is for someone else besides them. But Jesus even said, except for your righteousness, I'll exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. Righteousness is not going to get you to heaven. The Bible says that our righteousness is as filthy rags. Unless a person knows Christ as their personal Savior, it doesn't matter how much good that they've done, how much righteousness they've done, they will be standing at this judgment. There's another category too. I think about that category about the righteous people. I think about all the Pharisees and the scribes that did all these wonderful things and they thought that it was going to get them to heaven. Remember in the Gospels how there's a story told. He says, but I cast out devils in your name. I did this. I did that. Did all these things in your name. And Jesus still looked at them and said, I never knew you. Depart from me. The next one I want you to think about is the procrastinators. There'll be procrastinators in this group. People that when the preacher preached or when someone talked to them about their soul, maybe they got a gospel tract and they were reading and saying, you know what, this is something I need to do. And they said, but I'm just going to put it off. I'm going to put it off a while longer, a little bit longer. And even though God tugged at your heart over and over, he still said no. I think there'll be many procrastinators in this group also. There'll be those who are outright sinners that we say, yes, they deserve to be there because they're murderers and because they're rapists and because they're horrible human beings. But then there'll be the self-righteous there. And then there'll be those that God spoke into their heart and they just rejected and said, not right now. The next group I believe that will be there is the group that will surprise some of us. Church members. Those that have maybe been in church all their lives. Even maybe baptized. Well, to be a church member, you're supposed to be baptized. All those different things, but never truly put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. They're going to be there. That's what it's saying here, that the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. It's referring to that, and people that are self-righteous think, hey, I've done enough good, but the Bible is saying that your righteousness is not good enough. It's only by the blood of Jesus Christ a person can be saved. And I want to encourage you today, are you going to be in that group? Are you going to be one of the ones that are standing in that group? Are you the outright sinner type or the self-righteous type or the procrastinator type? Or are you the one that is the church member just pretending to be a Christian? Are you going to be in that group? I want to encourage you today, you don't have to be in that group. Are you going to be there that day? If Christ would come back, or if you would die within the next couple of minutes, are you going to be inside that group? And it's a challenging thought, and it's a humbling thought. And the next question is, do you know somebody who's going to be in that group? Do you know someone who's going to stand before that great white throne, that throne of power, that throne of purity through in front of Christ? With no answer to say, no way to defend yourself because you're judged according to your own works, judged according to your own sins. Do you know someone that's going to be in that group? If you do, when's the last time you told them about it? When's the last time you prayed about it? When's the last time you did anything to try to get them out of that group? There's plenty of people who do not hate God. Plenty of people who we would consider good moral people. But it reminds us of all who died, regardless of where they died, how they died, will appear before him in judgment if they do not know him. Even those who are in hell today that will be brought out of this judgment. All those. Can you imagine this horrible assembly? Can you imagine the mass group of people that would be there? Imagine the center point of the throne, and you see it. And you hear the moaning and the groaning. You hear the devastation that's there. And you say, Pastor, how is this just? Well, look what it says here, how they're going to be judged. They're going to be judged from their own works. They're going to be judged also out of the book. And you say, what books here? Look at the documents around the throne. There's some different ones. The Bible itself is not mentioned here, but the Bible reminds us that we'll be judged out of His Word in John chapter 12 and verse 48. The Bible that sinners mock and refuse to heed will be used someday to render judgments upon their own lives. It's better to believe now and go to heaven than to reject it and face in judgment someday. Then you see something that's called like a book of deeds here. And there's more than one book that's written here. It says the books were open. And the different books is up for a different time and different topics here. But we don't want to get past the judgment side here. But there is a book here. It says in verse number 12, and the books were open, another book. And it says another book. So there's more than one, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those which were written in the books according to their work. So there is a book here that has every deed, both good and evil mentioned, every sin. Many people believe every sin will be read aloud. Sins of commission, sins of omission, flagrant sins, secret sins, sins of the heart, sins of the mind, all will be brought out in the open one day. The lost will be judged according to their works. A man can either choose to stand before God today in his own record, or can choose to face God and face God with his sins, or they can choose to come to Christ. And as not being faced, of course, to our record, because our record has been expunged. Faith in Christ wipes our record clean. It replaces the record of our sins with the record of His righteousness. When our book is open, they'll see Calvary in an empty tomb. And then you think about the book of life. Now, different people have different ideas what the book of life is and what it means, and the Lamb's book of life. But it has the idea here in verse number 15, it says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. It means every person was born, if their name is not written in this book of life, this Lamb's book of life, will be cast into a horrible place that was made for the devil and the angels. Then you see here the different descriptions there, but think about the decisions that's made at the throne. So what is the decision? The books are open, judgment is rendered. On the evidence found in the books, you can be sure that the evidence is accurate, the record is complete. So what is the decision going to be based on? The fact that God loves you? No, for God so loved the world that He gave. He gave you an opportunity for salvation. This is a just God. This is a holy God. This is a God, the great white throne, that you'll be judged according to whether or not your name is found written in the book of life. You'll be judged according to your deeds, and because your deeds are there, and according to your sin, it says you'll be cast into the lake of fire. The third thing I want you to see is the judgment. The judgment. Not just the judge, not just the justice, but the judgment. It's a fearful judgment. The sentence rendered here from the book, it is death. Look what it says in death in verse number 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Now, when it talks about a second death, it's talking about an eternal separation from God and the fire of the lake of fire. The death involves no dying. There will be no end to the torment. I believe a person that will continually live in torment like the rich man that we see in the book of Luke. Imagine the horror of hearing Jesus say, depart from me, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and the angels. Imagine living the life the way that you want it without regard to God, and someday you're standing at this throne and you hear those words. It's a final judgment. As I mentioned earlier, there'll be no appeals. There'll be no other chance. This will be the end of the road for those standing at that judgment, forever cast into the lake of fire. Many don't believe this is true. They deny the reality of hell. They deny, they claim that it's old-fashioned, that it's out of date. But the Bible says that hell is real. It talks more about hell than it does about heaven. And it does say that lost sinners are going to spend eternity in it. It's a fearful judgment. It's a final judgment. But I want you to think about this. It's a foolish judgment. What do you mean? It's foolish for you to hear the truth of the gospel today and to say no. It's foolish to understand that this judgment's going to happen, but still say, I'd rather face this. Any sinner who is willing to turn to trust Jesus Christ alone by faith can be saved eternally. The precious blood of Jesus shed on Calvary is sufficient to the saving of any sinner who calls upon him. The grace of God is sufficient for every sinner that will come to him. I want to encourage you this morning. I don't know where you're at in your spiritual state, but if you do not know Christ and you do not get right before you die, you know what's going to happen? Someday you'll be at this judgment. Someday you'll be judged at this judgment. And it's a fearful judgment. It's a final judgment. You say, Pastor, I got plenty of time. I don't know about you, but the way things are today, who knows how much is going to happen tomorrow? No one's promised tomorrow. The Bible even says, boast thyself not of tomorrow. No one knows what a day is going to hold. I can tell you stories of people who died thinking they were going to go back to their house that day. We think about 9/11, all those people who were killed, you know, just like that. Don't put it off. Don't be one of those four, I'm an outright sinner, I'm a self-righteous person. Don't be a procrastinator. No one's promised tomorrow. But also, don't be someone who is clothed in your church membership, but never truly coming to a knowledge of Christ. So, Pastor, what's the point of the message? I thought it's supposed to be have a biblical worldview. I don't know about you, but to me, there's no greater biblical worldview than this look in the future and say, someday there's going to be a judgment. Whether it's at the great white throne judgment, that is for those that are lost. And like we said, next week we're going to probably look at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, we didn't dive into a lot of details about the books and about the different things that are there because I wanted to put it right out there to say, there is going to be a judgment someday, and you know people that are going to be at that judgment. What are you going to do about it? And more importantly, today, are you here and you know that someday you will be in that judgment? There's the offer of salvation. Come. Come, put your faith and trust in him. Believe in what Jesus Christ did on that cross. He died for you. He paid your sin debt for you. You must turn to him in your faith, by faith, and putting your trust in Jesus and Jesus alone for salvation. He will save you. He's able to save you. That one that is the judge that day also came to be the Savior of the world. And I don't know if there's someone here today, and I'm assuming with the number of people that are here today, that there's people here that do not know Christ as their Savior, and they're headed to this place, this judgment that is final and is done for eternity. Will you get right today? But also, as I began just studying and reading and looking at these verses, God began to prick my heart about people that I know may be there someday. And when was the last time I showed any interest in telling someone? When was the last time I even prayed for a lost soul? When is the last time I continued in prayer? If we're going to have a biblical worldview, we're going to have judgment in mind. We're going to say, you know, someday that person's going to stand before God. No matter what the judgment is, someday they're going to stand before God. And if they are going to be at that great white throne judgment, there is nothing better I can do with my life than to try to help bring people to Christ and help people get out of that judgment. This morning, do you know him? Or do you know someone who's going to be there? When's the last time we prayed? When's the last time we thought about it? So as we begin to develop a biblical worldview, I think the most important thing is that we say, hey, God, this is your life. It's not my life. I'm presenting my body today. God, show me what you want to do. And as we consider what he wants us to do, he brings us to this spot of judgment, future prophecy. This is something that's certain. This is something that's going to happen. Heavens and earth will flee away. It's just going to be the great white throne with Christ sitting on it. And it's an eternal judgment that will happen, that people are going to die and be cast into a horrible place called hell. But what are we doing about it? See, I don't think we let that form our biblical worldview. I don't think that forms our worldview. We would see more people saved. We would see more interest. We would see more teaching. We would see more tracts going out. We would see more people interested. And now I think our worldview comes around church and, hey, this is important. This is good. We want to raise our kids. And this. But if we have a biblical worldview, it's going to have one that has the lost in it. It's going to be one that actually cares for the lost and dying. It's going to be one that actually does things to help bring people to Christ and not push people away. This morning, this great white throne judgment, are you going to be there? Are you going to stand in judgment there? If so, you don't have to. It'd be foolish to hear about it and say, oh, I'm going to be there someday. Every knee's going to bow. Every tongue's going to confess. It's not going to be you saying, hey, what about this? What about that? It's you going to understand according to your deeds, your wickedness and your sin, and you're going to be cast into a lake of fire that will last forever and ever, for all eternity. Are you going to be there? I hope not. Do you know somebody that's going to be there? If so, what are we going to do about it? You don't want to face this judgment someday. God doesn't want you to face that judgment someday. He says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants you to get right. He gave himself for you, so you didn't have to stand in this judgment. But that day's coming. You know, I thought about it. I've been thinking and humming and singing this song most of the week. And don't worry, I'm not going to sing it for you. Still a little bitter about not singing with the Peas duet, but that's okay. But there is coming a day. We sing a song about that, don't we? There's coming a day. You know, and it's exciting for us. There's not going to be any more sorrow. There's not going to be any more pain. Praise the Lord. And when we rejoice about that day, there's coming another day for someone who doesn't know him. That is not a day of rejoicing. That is a day that we should be fearful of. That's a day they should be fearful of. But that is a day that should say, yes, there's coming a day. There's something that's wonderful. When I see him face to face, the one who saved me by his grace, he takes me by the hand, leads me through the promised land. Oh, what a wonderful day that's going to be. Now consider what the day is for the other person. Standing in judgment with no hope, no one defending them. Straight, solid facts. You're a sinner. And you died without me. We rejoice and we sing songs about it. But what about those that don't know him? Are you going to be there? Hopefully not in judgment. Do you know someone who's going to be there? What are you going to do about it? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today, and I thank you for the privilege of opening up your word. Lord, when we consider what type of worldview we're going to have, help us not to forget. Help us not to be developing our worldviews according to what the culture is telling us, to what the government is telling us, what news media is telling us, what our children and friends are telling us. But if we are going to have a sincere biblical worldview, we must have eternity in mind. And when we talk about there's coming a day, Lord, and we get to see it face to face, and we're super excited about it. Praise the Lord. But also there's coming a day when there will be those who stand before you not rejoicing, not praising, but stand before you in judgment. A judgment where they will have no defense, and they will spend eternity in a horrible place called hell. God, help us to rejoice in that we don't have to go there. Help us rejoice and we don't have to stand in judgment that day. But also help us to remember that there are those that are going. And let us allow that thought and that message to construct our worldview. We're a living sacrifice, Lord. Here's my life. Do what you want with it today. And Lord, help me to remember that there are those that will stand at the great white throne someday. Even people I know, some I don't know, but people I want to help not be there. Work in our hearts and lives today. Impact us with probably the most terrifying scene in all the Bible. That day before the great white throne, being told, "I never knew you. Depart from me." Or if there's someone here today that does not know you, or we pray they come to a saving knowledge of you. In Jesus' name, amen.